Good evening and
Hey,
welcome to the
Pages
Speak. I'm Pastor Stephanie Page and
I'm Pastor Jonathan Lee Page.
And we want to talk to you this evening about why is there competition in God's church?
Yeah, sounds crazy, but you see a lot of competition amongst the body of believers. And it's kind of like a entryway where people just really want to just, you know, go up against each other. And it's really out of hand to a degree. I learned about it in deliverance as we called out certain things. And that was one of them. I didn't really understand it until basically not too long ago.
Yeah, it's like. It gets to be difficult because as we are all called to be one body, to be together and unified and have one unified goal, mm-hmm. we find that there's competition. There's people call it member hustling.
Yeah.
There's people jockeying, you know, for position, even, you know, with people that, you know, you're leading. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of it is due to where we are now in regards to the way things are set up, you know, the way things are set up with the body, the way things are set up in the church, to where, you know, it's no longer Christ's church, but it's people's church.
Yeah. And one of the things that we're seeing in the church. We're going to talk about it in much detail as possible about literally the spirit of competition.
Yes.
I've experienced it as coming up in the church. I'm sorry, we had some difficulty here. experiencing it just being myself, just coming in. I'm a very large individual. 6'8", about 3-something plus pounds, and walk in and you could just be minding your own business and people just find something to compete with. And I just, you know, sometimes I don't even look at competition. I don't even consider it. I kind of just do my own thing and try to do it as best to my ability and leave the rest up to other people. So I don't feel that competition, especially amongst the kingdom, it's not necessary, because if I'm doing something well, I believe that it represents all of us. It shows that we all can, you know, strive to be something great when God is in it.
You know, I was thinking about, again, where did this attitude come from? And again, with anything that you deal with, you always have to get to the root. Where did it enter in? Why do we have it? Why is it here? Okay. And what can we do really to root it out? Because it's understandable, we have competition in the world where everyone is jockeying to be number one, or everybody jockeying to be in charge, and everyone's jockeying to be large in charge, you know, that head ninja in charge. Anyway,
the ninjas.
Okay. Anyway, so, you know, but how did this enter into the church? Mm. And so I was talking to God about it and, you know, mulling it around. And I think it goes back to what is our goal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if we really understand that we're all supposed to be on the same team, mm-hmm. you know, with the same goal. So I think a lot of times we may lose track mm-hmm. that there's one head of the entire church, which is Christ. So if it's one head of the church, then, you know, why are we trying to jockey to be in charge when he's in charge? And number two, what is the goal of the church? What is the goal of what it is that we're doing and where we're trying to get to? Because if we can come to a common goal, if we can come under the common leadership of Christ, then it would eliminate the need to compete for each one of our own individual agendas to be going forth. But if our agenda is not the advancement of the kingdom and the agenda of the king, then everyone's going to be competing for their own agenda. So they're going to be competing. So if your goal is money and to make the most money, you know, well, how do you get more money? You get more members. So you start jockeying and trying to, you know, steal members. If your goal is to be popular, okay, and to be everyone's favorite, then you won't support other people. You're only, you know, want to put yourself out. You know, you won't, you know, it's funny because you even see like on social media, we're all in the same team,
right?
But don't like one another's posts, or you know, if someone
you
else
see a
is
video, you scroll past.
You scroll past, or you may look at it, but check it out. You'll look at it, but you won't click on it because you don't want nobody to know. Oh, I was looking at them, or I was supporting them, because you're not gonna say like, and you're not gonna put a positive comment on, just in case they think that you like what they said.
Wow.
That may, and then this is what's even funnier. So you won't like it, you won't comment on it, but then you'll say the exact same things they said.
Right. You're still ideas.
So
and you're a plagiarist.
Well,
you steal names. let me be real with you. You're stealing.
But the Lord had to tell me that
basically all rights belong to the kingdom.
Yeah, because see that
even though you steal.
Well, no, but this is the thing. This is the thing. And God, you know, really talked to me about that. If we all have the same goal and we're all working for the same, you know, the same team, we're not in competition. Yeah. Then if someone else takes one of your plays to score a goal or runs one of your formation, if you get the goal and you all are all in the same team, then we should be cheering because we all win. But unfortunately, we don't look at each other as all being on the same team. Mm-hmm. We're all seeking our own agenda. We're all seeking, you know, praise. We're all seeking recognition or, you know, the bigger people, instead of what we all should be doing is working towards the advancement of the kingdom of God, preaching the gospel, saving the lost. I mean, I don't know how many people out there, I know we've done it, but we will go out there, speak to someone. Mm-hmm. They'll say, okay, where's your church? We'll say, well, where do you live? Yeah. And if they live really, really far, if we have a ministry partner in that area, we'll say, you know what? There's a church over here that teaches the way we teach. They're closer to you. You know, go ahead and go over there.
Right.
But most people ain't going to do that. If you got to drive an hour and a half to get to my church, come on. Again. So what's the goal, you know? And I understand fellowship. Don't get me wrong. I understand fellowship. I understand sometimes, you know, you'll come in and you work well, you know, with a certain group of people.
Yeah.
But I have to wonder where all the division came into the church, to whereas we're all trying to advance our own individual personal agendas.
To me, I think it's a slavery mindset, to be honest. It's a slavery mindset. You got some
people,
you got some people on the porch and you got people out in the field and they all lobbying against each other. You got the light skins against the You got so much going on in the church. You got people who come in, they looking to see how many members you got. If you got too many members, they starting to backdoor you and do all kinds of crazy stuff. It's so much crazy. Well, I'm sorry. The term backdoor may have been a little bit brash.
Woo!
A little bit brash.
Backstab.
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 Yeah, the OJ's had a good song about that. Here it go.
They smile in your face all the time. It won't take your place.
The backstabs.
Backstab.
Gotta watch them backstabs.
But the thing is, but even with that, we all have the same place.
Yes.
We're all servants to the king. We're all looking to advance the king's agenda. We're all looking to take territory. We all should be looking to set the captives free. We're all should be looking to display the kingdom of God wherever we go. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. So, you know, so how do we root out, you know, the spirit of competition that's in the church? Whereas we don't support one another. We don't promote one another. Only if we get something out of it.
Right.
If we're going to get something out of it, some kind of benefit, some kind of personal benefit, okay, we'll support. But if we're not getting some kind of personal benefit out of it, nah, you know. Mm. So, and again, where do we get this idea from? And is it in alignment with, you know, the first century Christians? Because again, your first century Christians, when they started to advance the church, they had churches in different places all over Asia. And but they were supported by different churches. You know, so you would have churches that if they had a lot of money, like, you know, Macedonia, that they would send churches, they would send monies to other churches to help support them, to support them. Support or, they would support, because it's all about supporting the advancement of the kingdom of God. Now, you have, the funny thing is, though, listen, churches will are quicker to send financial support to churches in other countries than they are to the ones that are local and in their own backyard. They're more likely to say, okay, well, this church over here far away, I'm a support, but I'm not going to support this one that's, you know, just close by, even if they're preaching the same thing.
Or you got people who you support, and then when it's time for them to support you, they don't show up at all. They basically give me. And then when it's time for them to basically come and support you, you can't find them nowhere.
So that makes you question, you know, what's the agenda? Are you looking to advance your own name, your own glory, your own monetary benefits? And is that why we do what we do? Mm-hmm. Because if what you're doing is to gain monetary
gain, monetary support.
You know, you're actually a hireling.
And if
money is your motivation, then money will make you not preach the truth. So we talk about a lot of perversion or things that are off in many of the different ministry gifts. And we talk about, all kinds of stuff going on in the church. And so you wonder, well, you know, why do you do those things if you really believe God and if you're really in this to advance the kingdom of God, you know, then that's why you do what you do. That's why you do what you do.
Understanding that God wants us unified. He wants the body together. He wants us all to support one another. He wants us to look at each other as we got to look at each other as you got Jesus in you, the Holy Spirit in you. I'm supporting the God in you. I'm supporting my brother and sister. I'm willing to come and be a part or help build. A lot of people don't want to help you build. A lot of people don't want to see you blessed. A lot of people don't recognize that we have blessings and stuff that is attached to one another. If we bless somebody, God is going to make sure that we have. And if we get out of this stubborn mindset of always having a selfish mindset, me, I got to get over higher than you. I got to do this better than you. I got to do all this. And I'm not speaking from an aspect of being bitter. Let's make that clear, because sometimes I don't even really pay attention and give a, I don't know what to say without saying a word that may get me in trouble.
A hoot.
Because in the same aspect, I'm going to still support. I'm still going to look out. I'm still, regardless if you do it or you don't, I'm still going to ride for you. That's the thing about me. I'm loyal sometimes to a fault because I'm ready to ride for you. Like my family of church believers that I'm around, I'm ready to ride for you. If you got a problem and I need to be there and help you through that problem, that's what I'm talking about. If you're a friend, whatever, we riding for you. If you ever came and supported us once, if you call us and you let us know what's going on, 9 times out of 10 we up in there.
So but the thing is, it's like, but the motive has to be advancement of the kingdom of God, support for the advancement of the kingdom of God, and celebration of the kingdom of God and advancement of the kingdom of God. So, you know, in all things, seek first the kingdom of God and all other things get added on to you. But again, when we have selfishness inherent, jealousy, you know, why is anyone in the kingdom jealous of anybody else? When all these things, again, jealousy sort of roots itself from lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. That's all that's in the world. So what that lets me know is that there's a carnal mindset that has entered into the church that has ridden jealousy right on in with it. Open, you know, open the door for jealousy. So, you know, it ought not be so. It ought not be so that, you know, oh, well, I don't want this person to get more likes than me. I don't, and on Facebook, this, now it's evident, really evident, now that we have social media. because you're able to see things. You know what I'm saying? You can agree. There are people who will agree with something and but won't like it, or they'll even share it and won't like it. Or there have been times when they'll take what you say verbatim, copy it, paste it to their post, but not like your post.
Yeah.
So what is the root of that? And again, jealousy, selfishness, and all these things are things that we have to be delivered from. Yes. So we got to get back to, why do we do what we do?
And why is it evident? Why is it more prevalent in our culture?
I don't know if it is, because I haven't really looked at other cultures. I can't say. I just know I see it.
Well, let me say this. Other cultures sometimes support each other a lot more than we do. If you really want to get it, I know it might be controversial.
That's true.
Cultures, they'll send money to somebody who's trying to build something. They'll put money into it and have them have a loan, and then they pay it back over time. It's a lot of stuff do to each other, like crabs in the barrel. Let's keep it real.
That's true.
Crabs in the barrel. We'll because we don't want to see somebody else doing something great, we'll just be some kind of hindrance, or we'll just want to hate. Some people may be praying for your downfall, for all I care. Some of them might be doing witchcraft, cutting chickens and flying on brooms. I don't know, but
let's get to the why of that. But I believe the why of that is because maybe people think, because for so long, at least in the African American community, there's only room for so many people to exceed. So you only see a few people really succeeding in things. So I think people have adopted the mindset that in order for me to succeed, I need to make sure you don't get my spot of success. If it's a limited number of people that are going to succeed, you know, it's almost like, okay, I want to be on the football team. Okay. So if I want to be on the football team, there's no room for you to be on the football team. So let me sabotage you, or let me do something and make sure you don't get on the football team. Not understanding that on God's team, there's room for all of us. For the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. So there's room for all of us. And God has made room for all of us. But I think another issue in regards to getting to the why is, we don't really recognize, I don't know if we've accepted the fact that we are all supposed to be one family.
Come on, man.
We're all one family. We are all supposed to be children of God. We've all been adopted into the same family. Thinking about it, if Jesus were to be here right now, because he was the firstborn among many, if Jesus was here right now, do you think he'd be talking down against those that, were preaching Christianity, or, that were walking in alignment with what he wanted? Or do you think he'd be like, I taught him, but you need to, not listen to him, just listen to me. Would Jesus be doing that? But even when we see evidence in the Bible, when the disciples said, well, Jesus, these aren't with us, we should tell them to stop. And Jesus said, if those who are not with us are for us, you leave them alone. In other words, we all have the same agenda. So let them continue on, just like we'll continue on, and there'll be more territory advancing for the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. But that's not a carnal mindset. The carnal is like, if you're not on my team, then you're my enemy. If you're not, exactly where I am, or if you're not in my building, then you're not with me. When in actuality, we all should be with one another, with one agenda, on one accord, advancing, the king's will, God's will.
One thing I may get some people that disagree with what I'm going to say right now is that I don't like the saying of, if you're not going my way, then I'm not taking you with me or leaving you behind.
Or get out my way.
So, to me, everybody in the kingdom is just as important as I am. We need each other. And rather they may not be where I am, but they can possibly one day be, probably surpass me. I should be good with that. But sometimes people have even competition with people, their own kids.
Ooh.
And their own kids in the kingdom.
Yeah. So
come on now, their own spiritual family.
So I want to get to just this one quick issue. as far as why there's competition in God's church. Another thing that we deal with, and we're talking about, even if we talk about the African-American church or the Black church, okay, there's a lot of insecurity.
Hmm.
And when there is a spirit of insecurity that is reigning, then in order to lift yourself up, you'll find yourself tearing other people down. When there's a spirit of insecurity, then you're looking at other people in order to bolster yourself, because you're not secure in who God says you are, and you're not secure in who you're supposed to be. We talk a lot about the need for deliverance, and I said it before and I'll say it again. Deliverance should be in every church, everywhere, church, at all times, because there's a lot of trauma. There are a lot of lies that we're operating under. There's a lot of spiritual influence. There's a lot of spiritual influence that's not the Holy Spirit. There's a spirit of pride. There's a spirit of selfishness. There's a spirit of insecurity. There's a spirit of religiosity. There are all these different spirits that are operating in the church that causes us not be in alignment with the will of God. So God's will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. That should be our mantra. God's will be done. And if God's will is that all men should be saved, he's not willing that any should perish, then we should also be working towards that agenda. When Jesus said he came to set the captives free, okay, that's the same thing that we should be doing, giving sight to the blind, setting at liberty on those that are bruised. You know, the bruises are those under skin wounds that are not necessarily bleeding and gushing, but they hurt still.
Sometimes.
And they and they tend to linger, you know, last. And so those are the deep hurts that a lot of times we don't deal with. So, you know, deliverance needs to be in every church, and the deliverance needs to be amongst the leadership, because, again, we have to be delivered from our own will and our own egos in order to fully follow under the Holy Spirit. Again, in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. That I is ego. That ego has to die for Christ to fully live in you. And your agenda is the King's agenda. Jesus Christ himself said, I came to do the will of my Father. Whatever my Father tells me to do, that's what I do. Well, Jesus is the head of the church. We are coming up under him. And he basically gave us his will and his desire. And I want to go there real quick. And then I'm a back it on down. But in Ephesians, and I love this scripture, because to me it gives a bit of a blueprint for what Jesus was doing. But I'm not going to read all of it. I'm just going to I'm going to start at 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So he gave all of these gifts unto the church. And it's for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So again, all of that is speaking about, and even earlier up in Ephesians chapter 4 at, you know, 3, he's telling us to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called, in one hope of your calling. So there's a lot of unification that Christ talks about, a lot of unification that, you know, he teaches. And this, of course, this is Paul's letter to Ephesus. But even when Jesus prayed, he prayed in John 17 that we would all be one, one in the Father, one in him, that we'd all be operating as one unit under the same mind, you know, and we would have to do that in the same mind as Christ. So we've had all these different things to come in and literally to attack the church to the point where we're not operating in the unity that we need to. And evidence of that is the competition that's really reigning inside the church. And I mean, I'm not in competition with anybody. I'm not even in competition with the devil, because he's already defeated. I'm not in competition with anybody. My job is to serve my King and to edify the body and to come under the rulership of Christ, the King, for the advancement of his kingdom. I should not be in competition with anybody. And if I am, I need some deliverance. And so we need to put it out there. You know, church, if you are in competition, if you find yourself not supporting the truth or not supporting others, or, you know, it, like if somebody else is doing something, you can't like what they do because they may get more likes than you, or they may get more Why are you in competition? If I get 1,000 likes and my sister gets 10,000 likes, hey, for the kingdom, that's 11,000 likes.
Together.
Amen. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's all for the advancement of the kingdom. 11,000 people got reached for God. Amen. Mm. And even the coming together to reason one with another, not in competition. We should all just want to get to the truth so that we all doing the will of God the Father. All of us should be seeking the voice of the Father so we all speaking the same thing. Mm. So the competition in the church is a result of spiritual
immaturity,
a lack of deliverance, insecurity, and people not understanding that we're all on the same team. We're all in the same family. We all should have the same goal. We all should have the same agenda. And if we can, and if we don't, then let's reason with one another.
Come on, man.
And let's come together and smooth all those rough edges out so that we are walking in alignment. And we can call ourselves the kingdom of God and take territory for the kingdom.
Yeah, we need to fight against this division.
Yeah.
We need to fight against division actively. We need to even push past some of the things that we have internal conflict with one another to come together and know each other. There's churches on every corner, as much as liquor stores in the city of Detroit. And some of them don't have that many. If we came together, you can make a mega church in the city of Detroit off of some of these storefronts.
We can have some on the east side. We can just have some to serve different communities.
Serving together.
But we're all
in the same community.
Yeah, all one kingdom. It's funny but it's not funny. It's actually sad to have the same number of liquor stores as you do churches. But yet we still murdering one another and hurting one another.
Not effective at all.
Wow, this is not working, people. Yeah. Hello. What we're doing is not working.
And we need to revamp it.
We need to revamp
it. There's more power together than it is apart.
Yes.
It is really that we thinking about numbers as far as putting people up under us. But what if we came together with the same goal, with the same mind, one faith, one Lord, one baptism? If we came one with spirit, the oneness, yes. one spirit, united as one, if we could just come together as one, do you know how many times, how much we damage. Can dominate?
Damage to the
we have
of
dominion. Oh! We can have so much dominion that God has already given us authority to have dominion in the earth, to walk it all out. But if we came together as mighty, it's like balling the fist, all of us like come together, we can give the enemy a big mighty blow to the head.
Another thing that we can talk about in regards to why is there competition in God's church is because right now, for the most part, and I am going to say this, for the most part, I'd say 90% of the assemblies are not really modeled after Christ's church. They're actually modeled after the institution of Catholicism. And because of that, you have one person that is in charge of everything, not necessarily empowering other people or training up and making disciples. In other words, duplicating, being fruitful and multiplying yourself. So all of the gifts actually work together, but we have, you know, we'll have one person that's over everything and they're trying to do everything to remain in power and in authority. And that's really not what it's meant to be. And because they're working so hard to remain in power and in authority, they are sort of like fighting. You know, they're fighting anyone that they think may threaten their positioning.
Right.
When in actuality, if Jesus is really the head of the church, then it really just goes to him and you can really give the onus unto him. So it's like even asking, well, did God send you to this assembly? If God sent you to us, okay, then we're going to do the work, you know, for whatever God. Do you hear from God? You know, training people up to hear. Do you know who he is? You know, let's look and see what kind of issues you have, you know, that's hindering you from really being submitted to the Spirit of God and, you know, going through the deliverance and everything else to set the people free and actually make disciples. But, you know, when you're making the disciple, you're not making the disciple to yourself. You're making a disciple of Christ. So because we have this model, and even to the point where you have a lot of churches that are founded, you know, by a person, and then their family gets handed down through the family, you know, it gets handed down through the family so that the family can stay, you know, in control. Is that the model of Christ? I don't really see that. Is that the, is, like I said, is the church supposed to be a family legacy where, again, you pass it down from just one generation to another, so there'll always be one of them in control? I know we saw that in the kingdom of Israel.
Yeah.
But that's when the people rejected God as king, and then there had to be men as kings. But that's not the dispensation that we're currently under. We're under the dispensation where Jesus Christ is Lord, period. That's your confession.
Yes.
We confess Jesus Christ as Lord. What you're saying with that is that he's our king. He's the head, and whatever he says is what we should do. So again, but you know, we have, you know, you're trying to stay in control. So in trying to stay in control of the people, you know, that'll put you in a position where you are in competition with other people for control of your, what you consider to be your people.
Right.
So, but that's all based on the model that has been created, which is not in alignment with what was actually in the word of God. You know, when we rightly divide the word, what really applies to us are the letters that were written by Paul to the different churches. And it gives you an insight into, you know, what him, what he, Paul, as the apostle, was really dealing with the different issues inside of each assembly. The church that was in Ephesus, the church that was in Corinth, the church that was in Rome, you know, so on and so forth. And then, you know, you had James that was over the church that was in Jerusalem. Actually, he was at the church that was in Jerusalem. And then you had the other apostles of the Lamb that went to different locations and had churches. It was interesting because Paul actually, he speaks about how he had never even met, you know, Peter, you know, when God gave him the charge to go to the Gentiles. And then he went to talk to Peter, and he was like, well, if they're not saying the same thing that God has instructed me, I'm paraphrasing, if they're not saying the same thing God has instructed me, you know, then I don't know what to say. But then when he went and he talked to them and reasoned among them, they're like, okay, we hear you, you know, we're in alignment with that, you know, go forth to do what you're doing, and you know, and we really, you know, we support you. But then we also see that he had the same issue in regards to the vision when they were saying, well, I'm after Apollos and I'm after Paul,
right.
You know, and there were the people had a natural propensity to bring about division. But that's why we have to endeavor or strive or fight or, you know, make it a conscious effort to keep the unity and not allow the division to enter in.
Yeah.
But that has to be a mindset that is instituted in the churches by the churches. We as leaders in the church have to tell the people, listen, we're not in competition with one another. Mm-hmm. And if you do listen to someone else, so if you do get a word, you know, you share it, let's come together and reason one with another.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand, you know, when you're a leader, you know, you also have a desire, or you have to like sort of protect the people.
Right.
You know, you have to protect the people. So when you have that, the idea of protecting the people, you want to sort of like curtail sometimes where they're going or what they're doing, you know. But he also says, know those who you labor with. You have to know who you labor with.
You got to know who you, and I think one of the things, that we lack sometimes that really will cause a lot of that will be accountability. Allowing leadership to also be accountability to people who you don't see as leaders, like other people around you. Having good people around you, they'll tell you the truth when you are a little bit out of hand. Okay.
And you're good at that.
Who?
You.
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord.
You just raw, straight, no chase.
Raw. Why not? I mean, you ain't gonna get better.
But that's what you need.
You need somebody to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
I want to be able to, and this is one thing, I'm gonna share something, I'm gonna be transparent. There are some people that I had a hard time with allowing myself to be in a place. I wasn't in competition, but I wasn't feeling them. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I wasn't feeling them. And I fought against it tooth and nail. And I'm, you know, thinking it was God. But then again, it was part of me coming from the streets, because some people you see them as they are, and you don't go past this little barrier that keeps you like bound in a little compartmentalizing yourself, where you don't come forth to go ahead and get to know people and to get past them. Because people ain't gonna never ever change, especially if you keep everything to yourself and you don't get close enough to them to be able to develop a relationship to give them the truth.
You know, a lot of times people have, you know, taking me wrong.
Come on now.
You know, they take me wrong. I remember one time I'd entered into a church and, you know, I was there serving whatever. And then some people came to me later. They said, you know, we didn't like you when you first came here. I said, you know, you all didn't know me. Yeah, but we thought you were a snob. Wow. I'm like, but you didn't know me. Now we got to know you and you're not like that way at all. I'm like, mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like, so people prejudge people.
Yeah.
Without really getting to know them.
Yes.
Instead of, you know, just seeing one another as family, as children of God. And then, mm-hmm. you know, and the spirit, you know, knows the spirit. And, yes. you know, you can recognize them by the spirit.
Yes.
And there are sometimes, you know, sometimes we have to, you know, love people who are not necessarily the kindest to us, or, mm. you know, they may be cut up, but we got to understand that everybody's dealing with something. Everybody yeah. has some type of issue. We're mm-hmm. all in the same journey. We're in this journey together. Mm-hmm. But if we could just come to a common place of
yeah.
we're all on the same team
yes.
and advancing the kingdom of God. Because
and fight against haters.
All right. Because I know when you were on, you played sports in school.
Yeah.
And I know there were some people, some dudes on the team that you probably wasn't your favorite person.
You know what?
Were there anybody that you know wasn't?
There was. I've never.
You ever been on a team with somebody?
I got into fights with people that basically I thought I was cool with, and didn't know they had a problem with me.
But the thing is, but you still play when y'all got on that court. None of that stuff mattered because the goal was to win the game.
Yeah.
And so I don't understand why, even in the family. I mean, there are family members that you may not like.
Yeah.
It's some family members that say some stuff and you'd be like,
but don't mess with none of them.
Yeah, but it's some family members that we may have.
Yeah.
That, you know, you'd be like, oh God, you know, you see them coming, you like, oh man. But they still your family, you know yeah, what I'm saying? Yeah. And if they need you, or if you know you can bless them in some kind of way, or give yeah. them a word of truth or light, you know, you still down with them because yeah, that's my cousin. You still mm-hmm. claim them, you know, even you know, you still claim them a lot of times. I mean, some right. people don't, but you know, you still claim them because they still family.
Right.
So, you know, and there's some people that, you know, may not have it all together. There's some people that are going through some things. There's some people that got some straight up issues.
Yeah.
But God tells us that we have to forgive and we have to love them, anyway. So there's not a caveat to where it's okay, well, I'm not going to love you. We all in the same family. I'm not going to love you. That's not the kind of charge that we have. As a matter of fact, God says, if you can't love those that you see every day, how are you going to mm-hmm. say you love me? So, yeah, we can't even use that as an out. But mm. even if there have been times, even at work, where there were people that they may not have been my favorite. Listen, I've had to work with some straight up racists.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Straight up racists. But I still had to do my job
yeah.
because we had a goal, a deadline, and something we had to accomplish at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So whatever sort of differences I may have had, I set it aside for the cause of my job. So if mm. I can do that at work, and if I can do that in the world, how come I can't set aside maybe a personality issue for the advancement of the kingdom of God and for the saving of souls and for the building up of lives and the setting of captives free?
Come on now.
I should not be holding on to. He actually tells us that if we have an ought to leave our offering, go deal with that. Don't go into nobody's service.
Mm-hmm.
First, you deal with the ought that you have with your brother or sister.
Yes.
So all of that's about keeping the unity. All of that is about being one. All of that is about being unified and understanding we have one goal, people, yeah. one. And we don't have room to be in competition.
No.
We don't have room to be tripping our brothers and sisters in Christ.
No.
We don't have time to be backstabbing one another,
right.
hating on one another, not supporting one another, not edifying one another, not encouraging one another. And wherever it is, and if that's you, If you scrolling past and refuse to like your brother or your sister's truthful, I'm saying if it's true, or if you refuse to like their businesses or, you know, refuse to encourage them, you know, check your heart.
Yeah.
Check your heart and ask God, where is this coming from? And if you realize there's something there, get some deliverance. If you need to know where to go for deliverance, contact us. We do have some people we can refer you to. We also do deliverance ourselves, but we'll help you to get to some deliverance so these things can be, you know, rooted out. We got to be better.
Love is needed in this season.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love.
Yes, we do.
That's the only thing. There's just too little love. That's true.
Amen.
Anyway, this has been the Pages Speak.
Yes.
I'm Pastor Stephanie Page. And
I'm Jonathan Lee Page.
And join us next week.
Yes.
We're going to be talking about evangelism. And evangelism is when, not the evangelists, you know, we ain't talking about them next week. We're going to get past them. But we're talking about evangelism, going out, spreading the gospel.
And
the subject, evangelism, should the church use hell to evangelize?
Woo, that's going to be good.
So join us next week, 9 p.m. here on Facebook Live, or you can catch us on YouTube and, you know, any of the other media outlets that we're going to be on. And we just look forward to just speaking to you again.
All right.
So support us. We love you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye.